If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
She never told him her name. Not once. Not on a receipt, not through a window, not in passing. She didn't wear a name tag either. It wasn't part of the uniform. And they weren't friends. Not even close. But Brian Koberger knew it. He said it casually, like, he was confirming something, like he'd already said it before in his mind over and over. The way someone repeats something they're sure of. The way a stalker might. And when that barista realized what had just happened, that man she'd served coffee to dozens of times somehow knew personal details she had never shared, everything snapped into focus. She wasn't just a barista, she was being watched. This is not a story about the night of the murders. This is just another story about what came before. One of the many that we are now learning about what came before the interactions of Brian Koberger before murdering 4 innocent college students in Moscow, Idaho. It's a story about a woman working at a coffee shop in Pullman, Washington, and a man who long before he was arrested for the brutal murders of 4 Idaho students was already studying people, already crossing lines, already testing just how close he could get. She was one of them. According to newly unsealed police records, this barista first noticed Koberger as a frequent customer. At first, he didn't stand out. He was quiet. He was reserved, always ordered the same drink. He wasn't friendly, but he wasn't rude either. Just present, down to business, right? Then she began noticing a pattern. Koberger didn't just show up now and then. He came in nearly every day, sometimes even during the summer, before classes resumed. And he didn't come randomly. He came in when she was working, usually near closing time. You know, the time that it's always appropriate for a lone man to wander into a business where a single female happens to be working. Alone, by themselves, vulnerable. Often when she was alone at the counter. At first, it just felt weird, the kind of thing you chalk up to coincidences or mild paranoia. But it kept happening over and over again. And then one day, he spoke her name. No introduction, no, "Hey, by the way, you know, I come in here all the time. What's your name? I'd love to just say hi." You know, things you would do, especially if you're maybe interested in the barista. Maybe you want to have a conversation and start casual, just chat, friendly, read the room a little bit, make her feel comfortable, be comfortable, not creepy. Nope, he just said it casually, directly, with confidence. It hit her like a jolt. She had not given it to him, hadn't worn a name tag, hadn't said it out loud. But somehow he knew. And that's when she started telling her coworkers something wasn't right. She confided in a colleague, asked them to warn her when Koberger came in so she could avoid being at the front alone. She didn't want to engage with him anymore. The whole vibe had shifted. What once felt like awkward familiarity now felt like tracking. And it wasn't just the name, it was how much he seemed to know. He began asking her questions about her academic program, referencing psychological assessments she was studying, details most customers wouldn't know or care about. He once brought a female friend into the cafe and had her guess which the barista was or where the barista was from. And when the barista guessed correctly, Koberger turned to his friend and said, "See, I told you she was smart." It was a throwaway comment, but not to her, because it confirmed the one thing she feared most. He wasn't just watching her. He was talking about her. The woman never reported Koberger during those interactions. There was no obvious crime, no physical threat, just a gut-level discomfort that so many women carry like armor. And for good reason. But after the arrest, after the nation saw Koberger's mugshot, after the news broke about the four murdered students, she went to the police. She told them everything. And she wasn't the only one. Across Pullman in Moscow, a trail of unease followed Koberger's name. Students, faculty, the local workers began recalling moments that once seemed odd and now felt terrifying. The coffee shop clerk's account stood out because it revealed the quiet, meticulous way Koberger inserted himself into people's routines, not by force, not with violence, but with calculation. He didn't need to kick down a door to feel power. He just needed to know when you were working. The name thing? That wasn't an accident. That was a signal. He wanted her to know he knew. Wanted to see her reaction. Would she freeze, smile, back away? Or was he just that clueless? That looking someone up online, which is, I'm going to guess, the way he learned about her. The way he scrubbed the details from his phone. Yeah, it is not hard to find information about anyone these days. Wouldn't it be hard to figure out the name of someone working at a coffee shop if one was so inclined to do so? But that inclination to do so is a little weird, a little off. When if you want to meet somebody or find out their name, going through back channels and then addressing them and information you research on the person you know nothing about and knows nothing about you is a little weird and creepy. Just because it exists doesn't mean it's a way to communicate or a way to function or action or carry out actions with other human beings. Just go ask her name. Be friendly. Be normal. Be healthy. In many ways, that's what made him dangerous. It wasn't just that he hid. Was how he measured people, how he collected reactions like data points, every interaction a case study, every conversation seemingly a probe. He was playing the long game, and she wasn't the only one in his notes. We now know Koberger studied criminology at Washington State University. We know he applied for an internship with the local police department. We know he wrote posts on Reddit asking criminals how they felt during their crimes. We know he was obsessed with control, and we now know, thanks to her story, that he practiced that control in real life. Not in theory, not in academic journals, but right there, behind a coffee counter with a woman who never wanted to be part of his experiment. The barista's testimony has since become a key insight into Koberger's pre-crime behavior, not because anything explicitly illegal occurred, but because it shows how early the lies began to blur. How quiet and casual predators can be. How someone can weaponize routine. And let's be clear, none of this was about coffee. It was about presence, power, proximity, and the thrill of being unnoticed and unforgettable at the same time. That's what makes this story important, because it shows us predators often test their boundaries, how they push gently, then watch, how they choose victims, not just by proximity, but by psychology, vulnerability, visibility. What would have happened if she hadn't trusted her gut? If she'd written it off as nothing, if she'd remembered every detail when the truth came out. We'll never know, but we know this much. She saw something, she felt it, and now the world knows. She was right. Brian Koberger wasn't hiding, he was hunting, slowly, quietly, in plain sight, and before he picked up a knife, he picked up a coffee. Where that coffee could have led to is anyone's guess. I mean, think about it. Think about if she leaned into it a little bit, as many people do, someone who may be a little bit awkward, a little bit off, shy, because sometimes awkward is really shy, and sometimes shy is really awkward and creepy. It's hard to know on the onset. But what if she had a heart that said, I want to try and help this guy. He seems maybe new, maybe a little awkward. Let me be more friendly. Let me maybe show a little flirting. What if she thought he was cute? What if she did flirt back? What if something happened? What if he got to know her outside of that coffee shop? More than he already did know about her outside of that coffee shop without ever knowing her. It's a spooky thing, and I'm sure something that she is going to rattle with in her brain for the rest of her life, as anyone would who's had an encounter with something or someone evil. You let her find out what they were capable of. It shakes you. How did you not see it? How did you not know it? But that's how they like it. That's how they get away with it. That's how they function. They function in the shadows. They know how not to be picked up upon or just brushed away as being awkward or strange or shy. And they use those shadows to hunt. He was hunting. Unfortunately, no one ever took away his hunting license, and he continued his hunt all the way to 112 King Road several months later. Tell me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Be very curious to hear them. If you're not already there, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. And be sure to press subscribe while you are there as well. Do the same search wherever you're getting podcasts, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you can take us with us wherever you go. Until next time, for all of us here at the Hidden Killers podcast, my name is Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.